couch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Neil Miller, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies. And on this week's show, Kevin, we're going to take a gamble on Ocean's 13. We're going to go surfing with Shia LaBeouf and the dude. And then we're going to check into the hostel for a second go-around, because the first time wasn't enough.
Well, I think we should say that I'm going to check into the hostel.
Yes, you're going to check into the hostel. I'm going to check into the Pansy Motel.
Yeah, you're gonna stay at the quarter, curl up in the fetal position, shaking and sucking your thumb.
Exactly. But before we get to that, a little bit of contact information. If you want to get a hold of us here at Fat Guys at the Movies, you can do so by visiting our website, fatguysatthemovies.com. It's probably where you already found us. Amazing that we would pick that. You can also email us, fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com. You can also hit us up on dig.com and iTunes. Just go to the iTunes store and search Fat Guys at the Movies. We pop right up. And if you'd like to call us and have your message played on our show, area code 614-388-8735 or 388-TREK for those of you anti-Star Wars fans out there.
You do that so well, Neil.
I do.
I'm so proud of you.
Thanks, Kevin. but we're going to talk about some movies, so where are we going to start here?
Well, let's start with Ocean's 13. Take a gamble, as you say. this has been the summer, the revenge of the thirds, where you have the third movie coming in for several different movies, including Spider-Man, Shrek, Pirates, and now we have Ocean's, the original Ocean's 11 from a couple years ago, and then they made Ocean's 12. And now we have Ocean's 13 with almost the entire cast back again. Here it is.
It's a reverse big store.
Doesn't matter if we win,
as long as the casino loses.
Which means that we have to rig craps, blackjack, slots, and roulette all in our favor.
Jeez, could you make it any more complicated?
It's great.
It's huge.
Great stuff.
Thanks.
If any of you try to break our deal, you'll be dead.
I know people who really know how to hurt.
Well, I know all the guys that you'd hire to come after me. They like me better than you.
Ooh.
Yeah, well, here you go. Now, I do have to make an apology to our audience from last week, because we went on a tad bit of a rant about how we weren't going to be able to see this movie early. But, you know, the good folks at Warner Brothers came through and gave us a screening, and which is a good thing, because I love this movie.
Yeah, because otherwise we would have bashed it unnecessarily.
I would have, like, on principle, completely trashed this movie beginning to end, top and bottom, because that's what I do when they don't give it. Like Hostel, I'll eventually see. They didn't let us see that one. I'm going to trash it anyways on this one, just because
right. You
have to. It's you. I've learned you must do that when they don't screen a movie. But they did screen a movie, and I thought it was a fun movie. I was surprised at how much I liked this film.
I did too. And I was one who, I really loved the first one, and then really was just so bored with the second one. And in the third one, I know you and I talked about this. The best part about the third one is they get rid of all the side stories.
There
the love
is no story.
Story.
It's just There's about a heist.
No Julia Roberts. They're just like, screw it. We're going to go right into the heist, and
that's what makes the movie work, because the first movie was really interesting and it was really cool and well done. The second movie, I like the second movie better than you did. There are two things that I didn't like about the second movie. The first one was the French guy dancing at the end through the lasers was just a little bit dorky.
Yeah,
and if that would, but I accepted that. And the other thing I didn't like was the whole Julia Roberts pregnancy gag thing. It went on way too long, and I'm just like, I'm getting sick and tired of hearing people go, oh, Julia Roberts, whatever, and she's an idiot. And, you know, notice how she's like, well, I'm gonna quit acting because I gotta raise my kids, and now that her kids are like, what, two or three, when they become a challenge, because I, you know, that it's not, it's easy to raise a baby because you can set a baby on the floor, walk away, and come back 5 minutes later, it doesn't go anywhere. You can't,
or if you're Julia Roberts, you could just pay someone to raise your children for you,
which is what she's doing. And now she's back on Broadway and doing all this kind of stuff and getting trashed on Broadway. So I don't have a whole lot of love for Julia Roberts, but there is no Julia Roberts. There's no Julia Roberts, no Catherine Zeta-Jones, who's totally hot, but lost a lot of hotness by, you know,
Michael Douglas.
Come on. That's just, but There's none of that. They don't have any plot. They kind of throw it out the window, and they kind of make jokes about it in the beginning. We're like, oh, we're not even going to talk about that, you know?
Right.
And they just go into this heist, and it starts with the heist, and it ends with the heist. It's just about the heist with none of the boring character stuff that can potentially go wrong with a film.
Right. I think they focused on what really worked. Now, the one thing that some people may not like, I guess, I didn't really care either way, was there's not a whole lot of huge, you know, big twists, very linear plot. It's kind of straightforward, and it doesn't, they don't intend to catch you off guard, but it's just, it's meant to be this kind of fun, you know, you get back to the characters, Brad Pitt as Rusty eating in every scene, just the things that we
loved. I did get a little tired of hearing him chew. Brad Pitt chew. It sounded like an intimate night with Angelina Jolie that I didn't want to be a part of.
Oh, dear.
Oh, did I say something inappropriate? I'm sorry.
But I like the fact that they focused on the things that we liked about the first one.
Yeah,
and,
well,
and how cool these 13 characters are.
What was neat about it is they really kind of went insane and did crazy, silly things that could never really ever in a million years happen. But it wasn't as bad as like raising a building,
right?
In the second movie, that got a little dorky,
right?
But they had some wild and crazy stuff and completely off the wall gags, but in the context of the silliness and lighthearted goofiness of the film, I thought it worked.
Right, I agree. And Casey Affleck,
oh my God,
doing
his Mexican accent
is just fantastic.
Awesome. He was awesome. And that's what's so great is they actually went back to what they had in the first movie by giving everybody something to do. If you could have taken Scott Conn out of it, you know, I mean.
Yeah, but he's just
He was still funny. I mean, you didn't sit there. I wasn't annoyed with him. The little Chinese guy, I wasn't annoyed with him.
Right.
You know, Matt Damon, surprisingly, I wasn't annoyed with him. You know, I mean, the whole thing, I think it worked. They minimized Brad Pitt, and it wasn't this big love fest for George Clooney. He actually, there was one point in the movie.
He was kind of like a secondary character.
Both him and Brad Pitt. I remember, you know? There was one point in there where I'm like going, wait a minute, where the heck did Brad Pitt go? I mean, nothing. I mean, it's not like I'm crying in my milk because Brad Pitt's not around, but
I am.
I know you are because that's the kind of guy you are. One more thing I do have to mention about Ocean's 13. Ellen Barkin, I know she's 53 years old.
Oh, my God. She's smoking hot for an old lady.
Oh,
she's
my right. Lord.
We're going to put her into the Kevin's Club of Hot Old Ladies with Helen Mirren.
Julie Christie. Give me the three-way.
Four-way
with Helen Mirren, Julie Christie, and Ellen Barkin. I would take that any day.
Right. I just created a new feature for our show, the Old Hot Lady Hall of Fame.
That's right. Those are the first three inductees into the Old Hot Lady Hall of Fame. And you know what? I have to say, Ellen Barkin, she's up there on the top. I have to say, yeah. I'd like Ellen Barkin on the top of me. But, you know, that's...
There you go.
That's just me. So, the Ocean's 13, I'm going to say that this movie rocked. It's a full-blown rock for me.
I'm going to say that it rocked as well. Even if it was just the surprise factor of, oh my God, it's way better than I thought it was going to be after that second one, it still rocked.
It was just fun.
It's fun.
It was a fun movie.
It's definitely worth going to see.
Yeah,
so.
Definitely a recommend. Check that one out. It's a good movie and very worthy of the first two and the first one. And Soderbergh did it again. Yeah, He's had Solaris and Full Frontals before, but
yeah.
this one worked.
Yeah, this makes up for Bubble.
Sure, which kinda. I didn't see.
It
I didn't
terrible.
Miss much apparently.
I have it.
All right, well, we got to go to a break. We'll come back and we'll review some other movies like Surf's Up and Hostel.
And we're back here at Fat Guys the Movies, and we're going to move on here. The second release from this week, which is Surf's Up.
Woohoo!
Starring Shia LaBeouf.
Your favorite actor in the universe.
Yeah, he's becoming my favorite actor in the universe.
Hollywood's making him everybody's favorite actor.
Everybody's favorite actor.
Just on that you have to be, because it's Shia LaBeouf, and he's in everything.
So, also, Jeff Bridges. And,
the dude,
Zooey Deschanel. It's just some personal favorites.
She's on the
mine.
Other end of the spectrum. The young women that
the young
my
women
hot
Hall of Fame. But they play animated penguins, which is always cute. Last time we saw this was like 10 minutes ago.
Yeah.
But a penguin that surfs. Shia LaBeouf plays Cody Maverick, which it's my little brother's name. It's kind of a cool name.
Your little brother's name Cody Maverick?
No, his name's Cody.
Oh,
not he doesn't the Maverick. No, never
Cody
mind.
Maverick.
But he wants to be a surfing legend, and he's goes off and leaves Antarctica and goes to some random the island of
it's Pengu. Hawaii. Is
yeah,
what
he goes
to
Hawaii
to
and tries to become a surfing star. So we're gonna play a clip and we'll come back here.
As soon as there was the first wave, there was the first surfer. You know, all you needed was like a piece of driftwood or a block of ice, and you were off. And they were hooked, man. They were hooked.
Get on top! So, Cody, when you take your first wave and the whole island's there to watch, what's it going to be like?
It's going to be amazing, and I hope the camera's rolling because you're going to want to watch it over and over again. It's going to be awesome.
Get on top!
Cody wiped out. The spoiler for everybody. There's a scene where Cody wipes out. We all know that. Yeah. You know, this is the thing with Surf's Up. I remember seeing a trailer for it. God, I don't know how long ago. Maybe last summer, even like during Monster House time-ish or something like that. And I remember seeing this movie, and in that I sat in my seat and I said, "This is going to be the stupidest movie ever made in the history." It was going to be stupider than Little Nicky. It was going to be stupider than, Codename the Cleaner. It was going to be stupider than Aqua Teen Hunger Force. It's going to be the worst movie in the universe. And the fact that I thought that the first time over the months that I knew about this movie, by the time I went and saw the film, I was actually okay with the idea.
Okay.
You know, I finally right. was like, I'm that. Like, okay, this isn't that big of a deal. I know it's going to suck, but you know, I got the premise.
Right.
Surfing penguins, dumbest thing in the world, but okay. Right. And I got past it. And then I saw the movie and I'm like, you know what? This movie actually is kind of cute.
Right.
It's actually not bad once you get past the premise.
What'd exactly. I agree. It's,
you have
it's
fond little, memories of this movie.
I have some fond memories. It's a little thin on plot. You know, there's the story.
This
is
not a
not
plot weekend,
right? This if is not a plot see, weekend. The story is not that interesting, but you have so many cute moments, like the little furball penguin.
He's a big trash can full of poop.
Saying poop.
That's my kid's favorite
you know,
line.
We're at the screening last night when I saw it, and just the kids were going crazy for this movie. They were laughing at, you know, poop and various.
They have a couple
phrases.
Poop jokes.
They have a couple
there,
poop
yeah.
jokes. I think it was
to
a
say
lot
this
of fun.
Movie is full of poop.
Yeah,
I mean, is not an inaccurate statement.
Right. It's you know, and it's kind of like I enjoyed it despite the fact that I really probably shouldn't have enjoyed it because
well, yeah,
you,
I mean,
if
it's
you break
a dumb
it down,
premise. It's
if,
a terrible.
Yeah, if you break it down, it's a really dumb movie. If I were to read a script or read a synopsis or see the trailer, just like you did. I'd be like, God, I don't even want to see this. But after seeing it, I was like, I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was well. And the thing is, it's also if you haven't caught it from the trailers and seen it, it's a mockumentary, but it's a CGI movie.
I thought that was kind of funny.
They have a lot of these little moments. Now it's based on like surfer documentaries, which I guess they have these things.
They do,
and I've never seen them. And I don't think a lot of people have.
Right.
But there is a certain thing where, you know, they've got the camera crew and they're following them around and if you actually watch the movie, it's emulates like the 16mm real grainy look to the film. It doesn't have like the Happy Feet crystal clear look.
Right.
And I mean, compared to Happy Feet, which was just survived 100% completely on cute factor.
Right.
This movie actually had more going on and had a lot of cuteness, and yeah, it had Shia LaBeouf in it. Who cares?
Right.
But It was a funny movie. I enjoyed it.
I will say the funniest, the two funniest characters in my mind with the little kid penguin.
Yeah, those were just cute.
And then the brother, Shia LaBeouf's brother. It's
played by what's his name from
Brian,
the Mr. Show.
Yeah, Brian Posen.
The real weird looking.
Most recently, he plays one of the gay neighbors on the Sarah Silverman Show.
Oh, okay.
He's just his voice is so funny.
Oh, he's hilarious. And absolutely stay to hilarious. The end of the credits because there's some funny stuff with him.
Stay to
the
end of the credits. That was definitely worth it. I was glad that Kevin tipped me off to that. So
I'm going
to
say, actually, I mean, no, I didn't love it, but I liked it a lot. So I'm going to give it a kind of rocks.
I'm going to go with you. Kind of rocks. And I hate the fact that we're agreeing.
I know. Isn't it terrible?
That's
two. That's too much. And then the last one, which is coming up, another kids movie, Hostel 2.
Right.
Which they did not screen for critics. We can't disagree on because we're both going to just pan it just on principle. because they didn't.
Well, I have other reasons, but
well, I mean, also it's a what do you call it? Torture porn.
Torture porn.
Torture porn. Let's hear a. This isn't a clip. This is the trailer teaser you probably heard before, but we're gonna play it again and annoy you.
Jedes Jahr werden in Amerika 10.000 Menschen mit einer Schusswaffe getötet. Darüber hinaus werden über 2.000 Menschen erstochen. Amerikaner haben einfach keine Fantasie. Hostel Teil 2.
Kevin, weren't you supposed to play the English version of that trailer?
Well, you know, it's kind of like when you go to a restaurant and if it's written in French, it sounds more elegant. I mean, it could be like a steak tartare,
right?
Which is basically raw hamburger. I mean, you can't put raw hamburger on a menu. You have to put steak tartare.
Or duck l'orange.
Yeah, duck l'orange, which is duck. Orange on a duck. And so I guess Hollywood thinks, well, if we talk in German, it'll be scarier.
Right.
Because the Germans, we hate those Germans, those krauts over there, you know, all that kind of thing.
Right. But, that's why they rape and kill our women.
That's right. And they pay to do it, which, you know, this movie, I think the most significance of this movie is the fact that it's coming out the weekend Paris Hilton went in and out of jail. And I think everybody in the world is going to see this movie and say, gosh, I'd pay $10,000 to torture and murder Paris Hilton. That's awesome. That is the only redeeming value out of it. Is it at least lets you vent frustrations about Paris Hilton.
I tell you, we've been talking about this. Every critic wants to talk about Hostel this week because the first one was disturbing. So disturbing, I didn't even go see it.
Yeah.
But I got clips from it. I know what happened.
What I liked about the first Hostel was it was a porno movie just that goes really wrong.
Yeah, but this one may take it to the next step. This is girls.
Yeah.
And a porno movie that goes really wrong. Like, well, it's the same thing.
Another one of the critics that we know that was complaining, oh, no, they just went with the girls in this movie. I'm like, well, they tortured girls. There was a Japanese girl acetylene torch in the eye, and the other Japanese girl got her toes cut off. That you saw. I mean, this wasn't. It's not novel to torture Bijou and murder Phillips. Women. What
wasn't Bijou Phillips?
Well, that's the other thing is that though I do hold out hopes because if you look at the movie, it says there's nudity and Bijou Phillips is in it, and she's my trashy little girl.
Right. So I don't know.
She falls she's in that hot. Well, she's in that sort of like the stripper you'd want to get drunk and take home hot.
Right.
I
want to say that for people who are into this movie, I can see this being good because Eli Roth doesn't make terrible movies, especially when it comes to torture.
He does a good job.
Michael Bay blowing stuff up.
He does a decent job doing awful horror movies.
I don't know.
What I've said, and I've said this already on the radio on other stations, I'm like, look, if you go see Hostel, you should know exactly what you're getting into. And if you don't and you're offended, tough beans. Because my God, who's going to walk into this thinking, oh, should we see Surf's Up or Hostel? I don't know. Let's go see Hostel. Let's take the kids. You know, that's
right. Yeah.
You know, so
you know what you're getting into.
Yeah, this is not an unknown quantity. So,
right.
Anyways, a Hostel. I'm going to give it a preemptive suck because they didn't screen it for us.
I'm going to give it a preemptive kind of suck.
Okay.
Just because.
Because you're scared of Eli Roth?
Just because. Oh, okay. I'm allowed to say
that. You
have
to disagree.
I get half of the show.
So. All right. Whatever. We're going to go to break. We'll come back, recap, and then head on off to the next half hour. And we're back with Fat Guys at the Movies. Real quick segment here. We've talked about Ocean's 13. We've talked about Surf's Up. We've talked about Hostel Part 2.
And we agreed.
And we agreed on like everything.
How does that
now happen? We're going to go back to another break, come back, and we're going to talk about some top 10 list entertainment news. And Neil's going to get naked and do his little cha-cha dance.
Welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies. We're into our second half hour, and you know what that means, Kevin?
That means this is the time you do your naked cha-cha dance that I teased in the last half hour.
Absolutely not.
For all you people know, he is doing his naked cha-cha dance.
And you just can't see it.
You just can't see it.
Yeah, you're not watching us. You're
the
listening
theater
to
theater of the mind to think of the fat guy Neil Miller doing the naked cha-cha dance.
All right, and after you clear that out of your head,
after you throw up,
let's talk about a little bit of box office predictions.
Yes,
if you remember, Kevin, back to last week, the big story was Pirates falls off, 61% drop, Knocked Up scored big. I mean, they did very well, and throughout the whole week, I've been watching it.
Knocked Up
has defeated Pirates
better.
Every day of the week. I don't know. There were a couple days I missed, but
pretty much, I think it has at least consistently for the last, for most of the most of the week proper.
Right. But now we're going to insert three new big releases. See how that kind of stirs it. So what are you thinking, Kevin? Where's this box office thing going
to
go?
Gosh, you know what? I wouldn't know. If I were to say which is going to come in first, I'd have to put my money on Surf's Up.
Really? Even with Shrek still out there?
It's a kid's movie. I mean, seriously, it's a kid's movie. It's June. School just let out.
Okay.
And I think you're going to get wild, crazy kids. But I don't think it's going to be like, it's not going to be that clear winner, sort of like, Pirates was, well, even last weekend, it was like.
It was like 11 million.
Yeah, it was still a gap. But like where you had Pirates like destroying everything and Shrek destroying everything and Spider-Man destroying everything. I think what you're going to have is you're going to have Pirates, Knocked Up, Ocean's 13, Surf's Up, and Hostel even. Kind of doing this spread, you're going to have huge box office this weekend,
right?
But no movie's going to walk away with a 60 million plus thing. I think all of them are going to be 25 to 35 million.
Right. I agree that it's going to be spread, but I want to be aggressive with my prediction for this week and say that Knocked Up's going to come in first, because I think that is getting so much momentum, so much good word of mouth, all the great reviews. I'll tell you
why I don't think. I mean, I don't think it's an unsound prediction. I mean, I'm not saying.
Yeah, you are. It's okay.
No, I say you're stupid plenty of times, but this is not one of them. But the reason I don't think Knocked Up's it's going to have a little struggle is because its market demographic is going to be sort of like that kids, teenagers and 20, that perfect demographic.
Right.
But you're going to get a lot of them going to see Hostel. The R-rated crowd's going to go check out Hostel. The people who want to see just the fun movie are going to, a lot of people are going to check out Ocean's 13. There's just so much competition. I think it's going to kill Pirates. I think Pirates is going to drop off quite a bit.
Right. And finally, Spider-Man, they might as well just take that piece of crap out of the movie theater.
It's 800 plus million worldwide.
Hey, it got beat by Mr. Brooks last week. That's all I have to say.
Yeah. Okay, Mr. Numbers. How much did Mr. Brooks do throughout the rest of the week? Look that up.
I don't have those numbers.
Mr. Brooks was a dumb movie. I'd rather watch Jordan Ladd and Bijou Phillips get tortured.
Mr. Brooks wasn't even in the top five.
Yeah, see, there you go. An R-rated horror movie doesn't necessarily mean you're going to definitely make money, because Bug didn't, but Hostel has so much name recognition behind
it. There's a lot behind Hostel. So that'll be in the top five.
It's going to be like
all
Saw.
Three of the new movies will be in the top five, with Pirates and Knocked Up, Shrek and Spider-Man.
I could imagine Knocked Up being high up. I can imagine it doing one or two, but I really think it's going to be, my prediction is it's going to be Surf's Up, Ocean's 13, Hostel, Knocked Up, Pirates.
Okay. We'll see.
You heard it here first.
We'll see, we'll be able to, when you listen to our show after the weekend.
And if you listen to it and you realize that we're right, you will understand that we are the most influential voices in cinema, as we've been called.
Yeah, as we've been called. Cool. So that's the box office. And moving along, we've got a couple bits of news today. A couple interesting things. The first one.
Are we doing trailer of the week first?
Sure, I could do trailer of the week now.
Oh, do you want to do trailer of the week?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, new segment that we're going to introduce to you here. Such a grand entrance with just confusion.
I got a complete confusion because I got his ADD notes here.
I'm skipping around. But every week now, on our weekend show, we're going to do a trailer of the week. I'm going to pick out a trailer that just came out for a movie that's probably not going to come out for years.
This one's not until November, which actually
this one's November, which is pretty soon. Yeah. But this one is the American Gangster trailer.
Is it the American Gangster trailer or the American Gangsta?
No, it's Gangster.
Gangster. There is an American Gangsta movie.
But that was like Ice Cube.
That was like Pimp My Gangster.
Yeah. Okay. But it stars Denzel Washington and Russell Crowe.
Again.
Again. And it's directed by Ridley Scott.
Ridley Scott movie.
And I tell you, this is one of those trailers that it kind of gets me more excited about the movie because it's kind of got this cool pulse pounding song behind it.
Just like that scene in Mr. Brooks.
Similar to the scene in Mr. Brooks. I thought it was a cool trailer. I'm kind of excited about this to see Denzel Washington plays a great bad guy.
I hear that this is actually going to work as a companion piece to A Good Year, which was his previous film.
Oh my God. That was.
Does Russell Crowe come back from his.
There's no way Russell Crowe can come back from that crap.
His Italian winery?
Well, no. He plays a cop who's going after Denzel Washington, who plays a gangster who rises above all the American mafias.
You got it wrong. Denzel Washington plays Denzel Washington as a gangster. Because if you watch the trailer, we watched it. He's Denzel Washington. He's the same guy. He's a great actor. He's a great actor, but. He's the same guy in every movie he does.
Yeah, but I'm excited to see it.
So okay, that's cool. I'll let you have that. Let's talk entertainment news.
All right, now we got some entertainment news. So let's start off with somebody who's not great at anything ever.
Paris Hilton?
Uwe Boll.
Uwe Boll.
Even worse. We could put those two on a list
Paris
together.
Hilton, Uwe Boll. What are you going to do? Like there's that scene in the superhero movies, the obligatory, where you got the one girl hanging from a rope, and like in Spider-Man, the first one, where Mary Jane's hanging from a rope, and the cable car's hanging from, which do you save? The thing is, if you had Uwe Boll hanging from a rope and Paris Hilton hanging from a rope, which cable would you cut faster? That's my question.
There you go. I would come up with a device that allows me to cut both at the same time.
That's how Spider-Man saved both of them. He saved them both at the same time.
Right.
Ow.
See.
I just hit my elbow on something in the magical studio in the sky.
Good job, Kevin.
I'm going to go cry and lick my wounds.
But tell anyways, the actual Uwe Boll thing is the Hollywood Reporter is reporting that for his next movie, in the Name of the King, a dungeon siege story, they're going to get a 2,500 screen release. And
they actually got the release.
They got the release. Who's it's a wide release. It is Freestyle. And yeah.
They've done some
Freestyle
stuff.
No, Freestyle is his company. And no, yeah.
No, Freestyle. I've seen they released something else. We just saw something recently with
Freestyle. Yeah, so Freestyle is going to do a 2,500 screen release and $20 million worth of marketing for this movie. And that's not even the worst part. The worst part is who is cast in this movie. And this is the first time I've really looked into it. But it's got Jason Statham, Lily Sobieski, Ray Liotta, Ron Perlman, Matthew Lillard, John Rhys-Davies, Claire Forlani, Christina Loken, and Burt Reynolds as the king. If you had to play a game of which one of these doesn't belong, it's all of them.
It's everyone. Yeah, you just don't. Jason Statham, you want a gangster from like London, the deep area of London?
Jason Statham.
Yeah. The Knight of the Round Table? Not quite.
Yeah, no, not even close.
Transporter, okay.
So this one, there's no way this can be good. Like
this has suck written all over.
The first time I saw this poster, I thought it was photoshopped and it was a joke.
No, you see, this movie itself is not new news.
I remember
back a year and a half ago when I went and saw a double feature of Hostel and Blood Rain. I went and paid to go see those because no one screened either of them, and they showed a trailer for this ahead of Blood Rain. And right. I remember watching this, and then you see Burt Reynolds, and you're like, whoa, who cast him as a kid?
Burt Reynolds.
It's bad.
I wonder if he's going to bring the mustache.
Oh, yeah. No, he's got the whole salt and pepper thing going on.
Oh, my God.
Okay, what else are we? Actually, we're almost out of time here. Entertainment news. We want to do some entertainment news on the back end. We're going to come back and talk about some top 10 lists, aren't we?
Oh, yeah. We got some cool top 10. We don't have any other news. Kevin Smith is making a movie called Zack and Miri Make a Porno, and that's all you need to know.
That's it.
So. There you go.
And Paris Hilton's out of jail.
We'll come back. We got some awesome lists on the backside here.
All right. We'll talk to you later. Bye. If I was lonely, I burn out slowly like a cigarette. Would you kiss me? Just to feel like someone else was there. I'm a liar. The devil in me is the honesty that glows gently. Christmas light in a window square.
And welcome back to Fat Guys the Movies and another new segment. We did Movie Trailer of the Week, and now we're going to do a couple top 10 lists. And
not like David Letterman.
Not stupid.
Because we don't have a drum roll.
Yeah, we don't have a drum roll, although I'm sure
none of that gay stuff.
Yeah. But we're gonna do two top 10 lists in lieu of
not
having
in
a
the
celebrity
loop.
Of in lieu of having celebrity interviews, which we don't have any, but we have a couple good ones coming up.
There's some cool ones coming up. It's gonna rock.
They just weren't for this week. So we're gonna start. We're gonna do two lists. First one is going to be the top 10 torture scenes. Or I'm sorry, the top 10 ultra-violent American films of all time.
And now, of special note, these are American releases because there's some wacky,
oh, yeah,
weird,
there's some crazy
Japanese stuff like from Takashi Miike, and I haven't seen a lot of his stuff. And outside of it, you got like there's some weird stuff out of this.
Right.
I mean that I'm not privy to, and I'm sure I'm not saying it's worse or better. It's just I'm a
and
big fat American redneck who just
that's
watches
the other
American
thing is the other disclaimer is these are our lists, so this doesn't mean the AFI is not releasing a list. These are what we think are
this
the
is
best
what
of all
the
time.
AFI would release if they were.
They should because we're the most influential voices in film.
Exactly.
But I'm sure you guys have your own lists, but we're gonna put these up on filmschoolrejects.com so you can flame away at them.
Exactly. Like. Number 10, The Hills Have Eyes, the remake, the 2006 remake.
Yeah.
This is the one by Alexander Aja, who. I think is Aja or however you pronounce his name.
Uh-huh.
This was his remake, and it was very violent and very crazy, but effectively violent. It was in the wake of a lot of violent movies, and very violent, and
right,
bit the list.
There you go.
Number 9, 2000 Maniacs. For those who don't know what that is, it's not the band, which
that's
Neil says
itself.
Is torture. Yeah, listening to, it's a movie by Herschel Gordon Lewis, a gore master from. The 60s and 70s. It's about a bunch of people who travel down south and then get caught in a southern rebellion from a ghost town. And it's really goofy and weird, and it's got the red paint and blood, but it's still a violent film.
Okay.
Number 8, Cannibal Holocaust, which I think actually might be an Italian film, or it's at least an Italian director, and it got banned in a couple countries. It was actually a movie, a fake documentary where they sent people to this South American tribe to study them, and the filmmakers decided to rape and murder some people, and then they took revenge. It was banned because people actually thought it was a real honest to God snuff film. And
wow.
I've seen people get disgusted in the movie because they like actually kill animals, real animals killed on screen.
Awesome.
Yeah. Like a turtle. And then they eat it.
A turtle?
Yeah. A turtle. Really? A sea Seriously? Turtle. Yeah, they chop off its fin. It's disturbing, but
okay.
The number 7, Saw, the original Saw, because of course that one was really kind of the one that started it all. And I'd say if you're going to say influential violent horror movies, it started the most recent wave.
Yes, of torture porn.
Of torture porn.
Right.
Number 6, A Clockwork Orange. You cannot have an ultra-violent movie without Malcolm McDowell running around, kicking a woman, kicking a man while getting ready to rape his wife and singing in the rain. There's nothing quite
there
like
is it. Nothing more disturbing
than that. Number 5, I Spit on Your Grave. This is a movie that's unique in the sense that it doesn't actually have a musical soundtrack. It's that cheap of a film. It's about a woman who goes to a cabin to be a writer, and these rednecks go in and rape and beat her, leave her for dead, don't kill her, and she comes back and kills them all, cutting off penises
on their graves
and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, it should have been I Spit on Your Graves, but it's I Spit on Your Grave. And I saw it a second time because I was in the video store and they had a DVD that's digitally remastered. I'm like, they didn't have a musical soundtrack. They digitally remastered it. Why do you need to digitally remaster?
Right.
It was the greatest, crappiest film.
Enhanced Dolby Digital sound.
Exactly.
There you go.
Number 4, The Last House on the Left, a hodgepodge of mess from Wes Craven and Sean Cunningham, who ended up doing... Nightmare on Elm Street and Jason movies, Friday the 13th movies, another sort of rape, torture, murder, revenge kind of movie, completely incomprehensible, hilarious to watch drunk in a crowd, and if not the thing you want to take home and watch with your girlfriend and mother, which I did accidentally once. Bad idea.
Right. What?
Yeah, we were getting a movie. I said, I heard this movie's good, and so I started watching it, and it was like, when the rape's happening, it's just really uncomfortable with your girlfriend and your mom and your sister watching it going, I picked this movie out. So
only you, Kevin.
Number 3, High Tension, which was Alexandre
This was
Aja's.
A favorite of my friend Amy, she helped us put together these two lists.
Yeah, exactly.
Where it starts off with a guy like masturbating with a woman.
Well, you think he's getting head. You know, he's having some oral pleasure, and then he just takes the head and throws it out the window.
Yeah, it's disgusting. Based on that, I don't ever want to see this movie.
It is the best introduction of a villain ever in a movie. Yeah. And it's just this twisted movie that doesn't always completely make sense, but it's so violent and shocking. And high tension is a great word for it. Also called Switchblade Romance.
Okay.
Which is a good movie.
All right.
Number two, Hostel. You got to put Hostel in there.
Yeah.
Just because it was made only to be violent. You know, it's that porno movie gone wrong. It's actually on screen violent, not as violent, but I think just sort of like the what it was trying to accomplish, it did.
Right.
But number one.
What is inferred?
Of all time. The Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the original, not the remake.
1974,
original movie. Tobe Hooper's incredible movie. He shot to make it a PG movie. He was going for a PG rating. Didn't show a whole lot of stuff. And it was so disturbing because of what he didn't show. It's known as one of the most disturbing movies.
Right. That's pretty interesting. I didn't know that he tried to make that a PG.
He was going for TV movie. Is what he was going for.
Amazing. Look what he got out of it.
Exactly. Honorable mentions. We'll throw in another Herschel Gordon Lewis movie, Blood Feast. Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the beginning, because it was so gory and violent. And The Devil's Rejects / House of a Thousand Corpses. I didn't like House, but Devil's Rejects was much better. But
right.
Got to throw those.
It was violent.
Yeah.
So. So my turn.
Your turn. Torture scenes.
Another list. The top 10 torture scenes of all time. And it starts at number 10, and this one was totally mine, The Last King of Scotland.
Yes.
At the end where he strings up the Scottish guy, and they whip him, they string him up with hooks in his skin, so it's like they hang him from his skin,
mm-hmm.
and then they whip him. It's the most disturbing, one of the most disturbing things I've ever seen on film.
Of course, there are people in New York clubs that just do that for fun.
Yeah, I mean, they do that for kicks, but I don't go to those clubs, you do, though. Number 9 is Payback, Chris Christopherson, when he's have someone hammering away at Mel Gibson's toes.
10 little piggies. Wham!
Right, and this is and this oddly enough is not the last time we'll see Mel Gibson
on this list.
Yeah. On this list, number 8 is The Princess Bride, one of my all-time favorite movies, and you don't associate torture with The Princess Bride,
but
with Cary Elwes getting the life sucked out of him at the end. That's an awesome scene.
Yeah, well, and it's great because he just goes, it just swings it up and the scream as it was what it actually is kind of chilling for a kid to watch.
Yeah, I mean, because the movie's so like just slapstick, kind of funny.
That's right.
Anyways, number 7, another Mel Gibson, Lethal Weapon with the Chinese guy, one of the all-time favorite generic guys. Torturing Mel Gibson
with the electrocution.
Yes,
and then he breaks his neck with a 4 scissor hole.
Yes. And then number 6, probably one of the more uncomfortable ones to watch, from Casino Royale, when Le Chiff goes to town on Daniel Craig's balls, basically. Yes. And just that is just, you know what's happening?
Where Le Chiff lays waste to Daniel Craig's balls.
Yes. That's one of the more disturbing ones.
It's disturbing for a guy. It's funny for a woman, but disturbing for a guy.
Yeah. Number 5 is another Mel Gibson, Braveheart, at the end, where William Wallace gets drawn and quartered. I think I had to turn my head when I first saw that. But
you don't
actually
see much. You don't see much. It's all in his face.
Right, yeah. Very disturbing torture scene.
Which actually, ironically, is not as bad as what they would actually do to you.
Right.
Same thing. They said the same thing in Apocalypto. What they did in Apocalypto was not even as bad as what they really did.
Right. Number 4 is Hostel. Now, we had a little bit of debate over this. There are two good scenes in Hostel.
I wouldn't say good, but
there are two torture scenes. The one at the end with the girl and the torch on her eye.
Yeah, the
little Japanese guy girl. Little Japanese girl.
Little Japanese guy girl.
Yeah, whatever.
Are you thinking of Amy again? No, I'm sorry. Oh, I'm teasing Amy. I tease Amy. It's the girl from Vacancy
you're going to get beat.
I know.
I'm
hoping.
So, but the other one was
the guy who gets drilled. Yeah, the kid, the first one who you really see get tortured, and he gets the drill bits in him, and they cut his Achilles heel, and then and they kill him.
Yeah, well, you gotta lead with shock value.
Yes.
On to number 3, another debatable one: Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the meat hook scene, which happens in both the 1974 version and the most recent version, the remake. I think the new one was more disturbing because he puts the guy on the meat hook and then takes a bag of salt and puts it on the stubble of his leg.
Yeah.
And that, to me, I almost puked
I saw that. The reason I say the original is because you don't see anything. You see this tiny little pretty girl in like a halter top.
Mm-hmm.
And they put her on the meat. You don't see the meat hook go in, but it's you just feel it.
Right.
And then he just leaves her there, and she's hanging there. It's a disturbing movie, and it's really, again, one of the things, what you don't see because your mind creates it.
Right. And number two, Reservoir Dogs.
The Van Gogh scene.
The Van Gogh scene. That's a classic.
Yes.
If you haven't seen Reservoir Dogs, you should feel some shame. Go see it. This is a disturbing moment.
Not the best Tarantino movie, but one of his best torture scenes.
Oh, absolutely. And number one, Mel Gibson was on the list for three times being tortured. And finally, he gives some back, but this time he gives it back to Jesus Christ.
That's right.
In Passion of the Christ.
You can't even say that the Passion of the Christ was you could say the movie was the best torture scene because it's the whole movie. It's just
a whole torture scene. But the scene where they're whipping him, that's the one I'm talking about. That is probably not only that if you grew up Christian and went through all those stories, there's a very emotional tone to it, but just the vivid nature that they shot, where you can see his flesh being ripped off, is terrifying. I don't care who you are,
yes,
or what you believe, absolutely terrifying.
Yeah.
So by far the worst torture scene, the best worst torture scene ever.
Yeah. So. Okay. Honorable mentions. We got
honorable mentions. Sin City, when Mickey Rourke cuts up Elijah Wood.
Again, you don't see it. You see the aftermath.
Yeah. Actually. Orgasmo, with the guy being forced to have sex with the T-Rex woman. Saw, the first scene from the first Saw, where the first guy has to cut off his foot. And then Strangeland. This is one of yours.
Yeah, Strangeland, a Dee Snider's movie where he kidnaps women and sews her mouth shut and buries them in coffins.
Disgusting.
And at one point, I think a girl actually had to rip her mouth open, and it was gross.
Yes. So those are our two top 10 lists.
We're way over.
We'll have those up. We're going to go to a break. We'll come back, and we'll wrap up. We'll talk to you about next week.
Here we are back with Fat Guys at the Movies. We're ready to wrap up another show, and we got a new segment again on Film School Rejects that you want to check out.
Yeah, a new feature coming up this weekend called The House of Swag. A little bit of opportunity for you to win some free stuff, courtesy of 7M Pictures, Film School Rejects, Fat Guys at the Movies, every studio you've ever
Warner
heard of.
Warner Brothers, Lionsgate,
yeah, who knows?
Disney.
We are out there selling our bodies to get you some free stuff. And all you've got to do is give us your email address.
I take a quarter. Take a quarter. Anyone have a quarter?
Check that out. It's filmschoolrejects.com. There will be a link up very soon. We got some cool posters like Ocean's 13,
Hostel posters.
I think I'm going to give away some Primeval DVDs.
Cool.
So.
And then next week, we're going to be talking about Fantastic Four, Rise of the Silver Surfer, Nancy Drew, DOA, and Fido, one of the funniest movies of the year.
Yeah, one of the best. That's what we're best.
We're going to get out of here. Get out of your hair. Have fun at the movies.
Adios.